gotta cut this thing off. All right. Stop it. Okay, is it off?
Man, can't get my producer to cut the music off a little sooner than that. But we're back. Praise God, we're back. I took 2 weeks off. I had a 2-week sabbatical. Actually, I just had to work real hard and take a little break. But the Lord permitted me to start back this week. Got a special guest today, somebody that I would call a friend, and somebody who I've seen life just change very much in the last, let's say, about 3 months. And she's so happy to be serving the Lord. Let me put you on the phone. Let me see, they done changed all the settings. You leave for 2 weeks, and then they make everything different. Okay, let me see if I can punch you in here. Let's see. Jessica, are you there?
Praise the Lord.
Jessica in the building.
Happy.
And you finally, Jessica, you told me, I'll never forget it. You told me about 3 weeks ago, you said, I'm just so free. Every time I talk to you, you talk about how free you are. I'm free. You said, man, Pastor Scales is going to, he's going to give me to testify. I know he is. It's coming. I was like, okay, Jessica, whatever. And yesterday, you know, I'm doing some stuff in the sound booth, and all of a sudden I hear, Jesus set me free. I'm free from drinking and smoking. And I said, that is Jessica.
Praise
God. I had
God.
To stand up and look over there, and you was just crying. How you been?
I'm excellent. I'm free. I'm just like so... I mean, my cup runneth over with freedom. I'm just so happy about it.
Amen. Is this the freest you've ever been?
The freest I've ever been. I mean, it's amazing how different my life has been just, like you said, in the last 3 months. I mean, I was so bound, and for as bound as I was, I'm like quadruple that in freedom.
I see that you're very thankful, and it's almost like you just have to tell everybody.
I mean,
you don't hold back.
God is so good. Last time I was on the show, I was talking about, you know, how Jesus set me free from cigarettes, December 11th, 2011. And I had been smoking cigarettes for years and years. And I talked a little bit about drinking and, you know, suicidal thoughts. And, you know, here recently, like, I've been set free from lust, and I'm looking at being free 3 months coming up, and I don't even have the desire in me. It's like the desire just completely disappeared of wanting to be with anybody.
How bad was it?
It was bad. How? I mean, I can remember... I can remember back to a time where I would get invited either to somebody's house or to a party or whatever, and I would just automatically go into the thought of what can I say or how can I get out so that I can go. And it was like, I mean, I've never smoked crack, but I've heard how the addictions are and how it does you, but like, that's the closest thing I can compare it to. It's like I had to have it, and nothing would satisfy until I got what I wanted. And eventually, I would get it. And the addiction was just so strong. Like, I would go to parties.
You was involved in some real, like, you... you was involved in some stuff we just can't even mention on Christian radio.
Praise
but
God.
It wasn't
praying.
Like a little bitty, you know, I like to be around this guy here, and then, you know, me, I just like to date this guy here, hook up. But you was, it was very spiritual, you know. It was almost like a demonic attack on the way you used to have to kind of.
It was ridiculous.
Yes, that's a good word for it.
I'll keep it as G-rated as possible. But, like, we would have parties. And these parties would be, you know, at motel rooms or at people's houses. And, like, when you show up, you might be the first one there, but there might end up being 40 or 50 people there by the end of the night or more. And there was a lot of drinking. Drugs passed. Thank God I didn't get into that while I was in the party, you know, atmosphere.
I just can't believe this stuff really goes on, though. It really goes on.
It really happens. I mean,
how often do you think
huge.
This kind of thing, is it like, you think it's like
there's
one or
party
two parties
every
a weekend?
Week.
Or?
There's at least a party every week, and there's an organization where you can sign up to, and they will let you know of parties all around the United States, whether they're in Nashville, Atlanta, Florida, and you can just go, and it's so welcoming. You know, the people are just, they're friendly. They, you know, everybody loves everybody. And these
wow.
parties are really just, they just consist of, like, just sex and alcohol and, you know, drugs if you're into that kind of thing. You know, it's possible to have access to that. And I always just stayed really just around the Nashville area. And I would hear of the parties, and, you know, I was one of the first ones saying yes. Every time a party came, I was like one of the first five who responded. And I would always go, and you know, it just starts out with a couple of drinks, and then next thing you know, it's sex.
Can you do that? Can you do that kind of thing soberly, or do you have to? You have to be.
I mean, there's people that do it soberly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Satan will use anybody if that person is willing to be used, regardless what. Sober or intoxicated mind you have.
Do you remember the first time that you was involved in something like that?
Yes. I went to a club, and there's clubs around Nashville that you can go to for this particular type of lifestyle, and I went to a club, and several years ago, and you know, you just go in there, and it's not like all the other clubs. And, you know, if you want to have sex, you can, or if you don't want to, you don't have to. And it's very open. It's very no privacy whatsoever unless you want, you know, to close the door or something. But it's very open. And the first time I ever went in there, I was really just going for information, and I just grew to really, I just wanted to keep going back. And, you know, it caused me to have, you know, multiple partners, and just Satan truly used me and just like a puppet. And I just did whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it.
Did you feel bad afterwards? Like, did you feel
not
dirty
when
or anything
I first
afterwards?
Started. Not, I mean, not
really?
When I first started. Mm-mm. Nope.
It was
I mean,
fun,
I just
gratifying.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I didn't really think anything of it from the beginning. I had no conviction in me. It was just fun. And, you know, the more things that I saw, the more things I wanted to experience, the more things I wanted to experience, the riskier it became. You know, you go from the club atmosphere to the after parties. You know, after the clubs, you go to the motel rooms, and then you know, after that, you start going to people's houses, and then you start meeting them solo. And, man, I'm so glad I'm free, though.
I am, too. It just boggles my mind that, you know, this kind of thing, you know, you hear about stuff like this in movies and things, but it's like, golly, people really live this kind of lifestyle, man. You know, they need Jesus. They need him.
They really do.
Are people... what do you say? Are they miserable doing it? I mean, I would feel like if you're doing something that extreme, you're doing it to cover up something, or you're miserable about something. But are people just enjoying it, or what are they?
Well, I personally
can't be. Are they personal life? Are they happy in their personal life? Or?
I really never got to know many people personally. I had a lot of people on my Facebook. And, of course, hindsight is always 20/20. While I was in there, I never saw anybody as miserable. Everybody looked happy. They looked carefree, not worried, you know. But now that I look back, I really do see that different people, like, I'll just take me for instance. I was miserable. And really, I knew I was miserable, but I didn't know that I was using this as a crutch to get through.
Right.
And, but looking back, I mean, it's nothing, I mean, it's just strongholds. I can't even explain it. I mean, I was so miserable. You know, I didn't have, when I first started into the lifestyle, I didn't have my kids. I was just very miserable and just frustrated and aggravated with the world, and I couldn't see any way out. And you know, now like I said, some of those people on my Facebook, and now, you know, several different people reach out for prayer. They reach out for help. They're going through it. And all I can do is give them Jesus, because, I mean, I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life.
And they want what you got.
They want it, and they don't know how to get it. And, you know, some people are just, you know, they want to know how they can get it right now. And all I can tell them is, like, you have to start where you are, and you have to grow. It's like planting seeds. You're not going to put seeds in the ground today and expect full growth tonight. I mean, you gotta grow in this. And, but they want happiness. They want peace. They want joy. They want Jesus, and they don't know how to get him in these clubs and in these motels. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I have Jesus. I have my own personal relationship with him. And they're miserable. They're late on all their bills. They can't get ahead. Every single day is a question and a wonder and confusion. And I'm just so thankful that I just don't have all that. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I'm not walking in what I feel like. I'm walking by faith. And my faith is in Jesus, not in the demonic spirits anymore.
Amen. Let me ask you this. When do you think it started? Just a big problem with lust. When do you think that started with you?
When did what start?
You being attacked with lust or having lustful problems.
Because
I got a baby girl, and I want to be able to protect her. I want to know, you know, where did it start with you?
For me, I can go all the way back to when I was about 3 years old and I had thoughts. And I didn't even know what they were.
3 years old?
Yeah. I can remember, you know, just different thoughts. And I didn't even know, like, what they were. And, but, yeah, I can remember thinking about, of course, I didn't know what it was then, but I know now. Like, I can remember having sexual thoughts at three, and then it just grew. God. And then I lost my virginity probably when I was about 14 or 15 years old. And, I mean, the circle just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And
do you believe you was looking for some? I know everybody's really ultimately looking for love, but do you believe there was some kind of void in your family or in your home, or you just naturally just gravitated towards sex?
Well, my parents divorced when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and so my dad was always around. You know, before that, he was always reachable even after that. So I can't really say that it was a specific. The only person that I had to look to who stayed constant in their faith was my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And so other than him, I really didn't have anybody who, you know, was in church on a regular basis or anything like that. And, you know, I'm so thankful for him and what he means to me. But as far as my father and stuff, I mean, I don't really have anything bad to say about. I love my dad, but, you know, he wasn't there, I guess, as much as I wanted him to be there. And with me being an only child and growing up as an only child, I really just, it's like I was missing something, but I didn't know what it was. And, of course, I was in youth group. I was in youth choir. I was, you know, doing all of that. But, you know, when I got to be with my oldest two children's father, I really, you know, I was in church all the time. And then when we got together, I kind of slacked up a little bit, and then when I got pregnant with y'all, quit going to church because a lot of people, I just did not feel like I was getting the support that I needed, when in reality I was just being rebellious and in bold rebellion. And but I didn't feel like anybody loved me or cared about me, even though they did. I just didn't feel that. And, you know, then I didn't know that, you know, love is not a feeling. We don't
right.
feel this. If you're loving in the flesh, you got it wrong. You know, love
That's
is patient.
Right.
Love is kind. You know, love don't take into account, you know, or count our wrongs. I mean, and if I want to be in my feelings, then I can tear people up all day. And
that's not hard to do, is it?
No.
Really
and
easy.
You know, and did not think a second about hurting somebody's feelings, you know, back then.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know that there was ever really a, like, I don't think it was because I was missing anything. It was just something I gravitated toward. I mean, my father, you know, he drinks and I drink. I did drink. I don't drink anymore.
Amen.
You know, like a lot of family members drink. And so it's just easy to, you know, do what everybody else is doing. You know, if you want a good child, you better be a good mirror. I mean, you know, you got to be who you want your child to be. And so it's just easy to fall in the cracks of smoking and drinking because that's what, you know, I saw everybody else doing. And so when the sex came, it was just
Let me ask you this. When you were growing up, did you did you see anybody who was living it, was living like a real Christian, was living by the book, practice what they preached? Did you know anybody like that besides your grandfather? Any peers?
Besides my grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I can pinpoint several people who were living what they were speaking.
Awesome.
But I wasn't around them enough.
You didn't get around those kind of people.
No. And and that was really a disservice to me. You know, I really needed to be around more Christian, well, just more Christians, period. And even though we were raised in church, like, you know, the same people who would just go in pews every Sunday would be the same people who would come home and cuss and act crazy and, you know, so it was just a normal way of life for me. You know, I didn't know any better. And,
that's one of the most important things, like, young people could do, and just people in general, is get around the right people. If you hang around the wrong people, you're going to do wrong things. And if you, one guy, I'll never forget Maurice Claret, ex-football player, and he got locked up, put in jail. You know, he should have been probably retiring from the NFL today or around this time, but he got locked up and he went the wrong direction. Anyway, he gets rehabilitated in jail and he gets out. And his life has changed. And he went back and told the men at the prison, he said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And looking back, man, whenever I hung around the wrong people, I did wrong things.
Right.
If I hung around the right people, I did right things.
Right.
If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
The group of people that you hang around is so crucial. And, you know, I try to teach that to my children too. And, you know, even if you don't have, you know, that are living the way you know you should, there's always a spot for a leader. I mean,
that's right.
You don't have to follow everybody. You can be the odd man out. It's okay. And, you know, I knew I was different in high school because I would always wear dresses and fix my hair, and I would wear heels and all that. Well, I got made fun of so badly that I just quit doing that. And I, you know, I took my Bible to school every day. I read my Bible every day.
Really?
And people made fun of me so bad for that I just quit doing it. And it wasn't until, like, last year that I even wore a dress again. And so, you know, I did a job on February the 9th, and they told us, you know, either dress professional or we can walk you out. And the Lord really checked me and was like, you know, you got to get back to being excellent, you know. And not that dress pants or whatever are wrong, but, I mean, he just checked me, and I, you know, I can only walk in what he is teaching me to do, what he has convicted me of. So with that being said, you know, the Lord just made a way for me to go to the mall and get some, you know, get some dresses and stuff and just be more excellent in my dress. And I mean, he's still working with me on that. But the group of people you hang around is crucial. And, you know, I don't want to blame all my faults on other people. That's not what I'm here for, because I know I'm responsible for my own self. However, you know,
absolutely,
if I had been around, you know, different people all the time or more of the right people more times than not, then, you know, my life probably would have been a lot different. And I thank God for the people who I was around, that the Lord just brings them back to remembrance. I mean, a couple of my youth ministers, the youth choir director, my grandfather, those people are so special to me even today.
Amen.
Even though I didn't walk in, you know, what I walk in today, like, I really believe that without those people, like, how much worse would I have been? And so I just went out and did whatever I wanted to do. And, you know, it was those voices who were really praying for me, were really, you know, had my back. Theirs are the ones who always come to the front of my mind.
Right. Listen, what would you tell somebody if they're really struggling, strongly? They know they're out there. They know they're struggling with that lustful spirit. What would you say to them? And how do they get free from it?
I would say if you're out here and you're struggling with lust, first of all, you have to get honest. Like, you have to get honest with yourself. You have to get honest with the Lord. You just have to get honest about that and say, you know,
sure,
I love it so much that I just can't stop doing it. That's where the Lord wants you, is where you can't do it anymore and you have to depend on Him.
Right.
And so if you're trying to get free from that, I would just, you know, take hold of the fact that Jesus loves you where you are and you have room to grow. And if you can just take hold of Jesus loves me for who He created me to be, I mean, I'm no surprise to Him. I didn't just appear this morning. I mean, He created me. I mean,
that's right.
So once you get there and once you admit that you even have these issues, then you have so much room to grow. And every time that thought comes, you have to just tell that thought to go away. And even when you don't feel like it's leaving, you have to tell it to go away again and again and again and again
speak.
And again and again.
You gotta speak. Speak to the thought.
Yeah, I mean, because it was about a week or two, maybe 3 weeks ago, I don't know. An attack came on me, and I wanted to go have sex so bad. I didn't know what to do. I mean, it was crazy. And I went to bed on a Sunday night. I woke up on a Monday morning, and in the middle of a meeting at work, the Lord just said, your spirit and your flesh are at battle. Which one are you going to stand up against? And I was just like, praise. I mean, it was like instantly. I wish I had the scripture right here in front of me, but, you know, it talks about, you know, where your spirit and your flesh are at war. And, you know, we're not, it ain't about, like, what's here right now. We're fighting spiritual battles. And so to remember that this is a spiritual battle I'm facing, and my flesh will lose every single time because I give the Lord rule in over my life.
Amen.
And I just, you know, I can't go back. I mean, what would I look like going back now? I'm not gonna stand up in front of the church and say, I'm a failure. It's not happening.
Yeah, you know you would have to come back on this show and then tell everybody you're sorry.
Well, I'll come back, but I'm not coming back to do that.
So you can't.
I'm not coming back to do that.
How much happier are you now that whole thing is, you're free from it?
I'm so ecstatic. I mean, this I have never reached before. I mean, this is like cloud 9, 110% happy. I mean, just to know that I can go to work, I can go to the grocery store, I can go to the ball field, I can come to church and not look at a man and think, wow, you know, or, you know, what are you doing later? I don't have those thoughts no more. And if they come, I say, nope, nope, I don't care what they're doing later. I don't care. It does not matter. If it don't involve Jesus, I don't want it. You know, and one of my testimonies to a friend of mine has been, I want to be so hidden in Christ. If a man does come looking for me, you've got to go through Jesus to find me first. I don't, I'm not playing no more. I used to play. I don't play no more. I don't want it. I don't have time for it. My children don't have time for it. I just don't have time for that.
Well, let's end it with a prayer. And I want you to pray for those out there who's struggling with that spirit of lust and especially for the women out there who are struggling. And after you pray, we'll end the show for today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Lord, I just want to come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for everything that you've given us, Lord. Father God, I just lift up right now all the ladies who are dealing with lust right now. Father God, I just ask that you just bring them to a place where they can be honest with you, because it's not about everybody else. It's about you and our relationship with you. And Father God, I just pray that they are bold enough to come to you, to be honest, and to just allow you to work in their lives. Father God, I ask that you reveal to us if we're unaware of this spirit. Father God, I just ask that you reveal it to us so that we can get it right. Lord, I just come to you as humbly as I know how, and just I just lift you up, Lord, and I praise your holy name. And I just thank you for rescuing me, and thank you for rescuing these ladies that are out here. And men, too, because men go through it, too. But, Father God, I just come on behalf of the women right now, and I just lift them up in prayer, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you for rescuing each and every one of us on your time, and Lord, and just help us to realize what that, you know, where we're at and where you want us to be. And Father God, that you created us to be something way more special. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you so much, Miss Jessica. We just watching the Lord do a mighty work in you. It's just been great to be able to see that.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy podcast. I'm Brother Eric, and we'll see you tomorrow or maybe Wednesday. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.